He's everything He promised. Amen. And so much more. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Sometimes you just want to say it to run the devil off. You say, well, the devil don't go to church. You hadn't read much Bible, have you? There were times that Jesus had to cast devils out of people while they were in the synagogue. That's right. Sometimes He pays more attention than Baptists. That's right. Now, I didn't say you, though I hope that you are saved and that you will pay attention this morning. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. And before I get into the scripture, I want you to open your Bible to Genesis 3, and I want you to look right up here, and I want to go over a few things with you. This morning's message is going to be just a little different. It's going to be Bible. That's not different. It's always Bible. From this pulpit, amen, we're concerned about what the Bible says. And I'm glad that you're concerned about what the Bible says. I am. I'm thankful that there's a group of people that still care about what the Bible says. And I do care what the Bible says, because I know that the Bible is the Word of God. So, well, now you can't prove that. It's been proven over and over again. It sure has. You're just not paying attention. Some people don't want to know the truth. I want to know the truth. I'm going to talk with you some, and I fought a battle. Listen, it never fails. Every time I want to expose evil, I get, all kinds of things going on. And so I'm going to expose evil today. And so you'll probably get sleepy. You say, well, I'm already sleepy. He's already at work. You'll probably get distracted. You'll think, I don't think I turned the coffee pot off. Or whatever. I mean, it's just amazing the things that will happen. This is real. So I don't believe in evil. You don't? I want you to consider some things. I want you to consider the reality of evil in the world. Torture, serial killers, genocide, abuse, exploitation, cruelty. Done with intention. You sure you don't believe in evil? I want you to consider natural evil as disease, disasters, death. Why is the world so broken? Could it be that man has fallen? I want you to consider the moral argument that all people recognize certain things as good and evil. This requires a standard, and the standard points to God's law. If you have a law, you need to have a lawgiver. If you have a moral law, you need to have a moral lawgiver. God is the lawgiver. I don't think that you have to argue with people that there's good and evil. There's right and wrong. There's truth and error. There's crooked lines. How do you know? Well, you've got to realize there's a straight line to realize one's crooked.
Amen.
So, well, that's elementary. Yeah, I know. We have a hard time digesting elementary things these days. And so I'm just trying to get you to think for yourself and not let someone do your thinking for you. Think for yourself. Do the research. Do it. Say, well, now most preachers may not want us to think for ourselves. Well, your preacher's different. I want you to think for yourself. I don't want you to allow me to do your thinking for you. You think. We can still disagree and think for ourselves. Amen. That's right. Even those that do not believe in God realize and they appeal to justice, fairness, rights. Why? Because there's a moral standard, that's why. Because man has a conscience. When a child steals or does wrong or does something that a child should not do, that's why they hide. That's why they look real suspicious when you say, have you gotten into that cookie jar that I told you not to get into? Come on, parents, help me out. You don't have to teach a child not to do. You don't have to teach a child to do wrong. You have to teach them not to do wrong.
Amen.
That's right. And so there's good and evil. Now, if there was none of that that I just said, I want to tell you the Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse number 44 that there's a group of people Jesus looked at and He said, "You're of your father the devil." You know why? Because the devil is real. He's real. And there's some things that he is doing to try to sway people to have a view of God, and it's a view that he has of God. And it seems that our world has a very negative view of God. God is not popular. But God is not running a popularity contest. God is not taking a vote. God is sovereign. Amen. God doesn't need my vote. God doesn't need my approval, nor does he need yours. Now, I'm glad that God loves me, and I'm glad that God has given me a free will. And by my own volition, I can make decisions that will decide that some things that come about in my life, usually destination. I'm glad God made it that way. And God helped me to make right decisions about who he is and what he is doing in our world today. God has a plan. And if you're not in on that plan, you're missing out. I want to talk to you about four spiritual flaws that the devil has bestowed on people in their thinking. And our world lives with these flawless things in their minds, and it causes them to have an improper view of who God is. There may even be some sitting here today that have an improper view of who God is. Not because you found out differently by research or study, because you cannot find out something improper about God if you do the research. If you do the research. But Satan will put it in your mind, and there will be people that he puts in the pathway of your life to have an improper view of who God is. But I'm asking you this morning for you to do the research. I said Wednesday night, we've been talking about the resurrection, and I said Wednesday night that there's been a ton of people to get saved by trying to disprove the reality of the existence of God. I can't tell you how many people have come to know Christ by trying to disprove the reality of Christ or the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because it's so. And some people don't want to know the truth because they know the truth is going to call for change in their life. And what the devil has done is he's tried to make those people think the change that it will bring in your life is going to be a negative. Because he has given you a negative view of God. I'm here to declare to you this morning that God is not negative. And I want to show you from the Bible. Now, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and destroy." But the devil wants people to think that's what God's role is. He wants to kill your joy. He's some big cosmic killjoy that doesn't want you to enjoy all things in life richly. And yet the Bible says the exact opposite. God does want you to enjoy all things in life richly. Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." We heard that Sunday night. What a good message. And so we just have to be careful, don't we? We have to be careful that we're not adversely influenced by the voices on the outside to the point of where we become lazy in our thinking and lazy in our research to where we won't do the research ourselves. I'm here to challenge you this morning. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, in the sound of my voice, do the research. Don't take my word for it. Do the research. Search out God. Amen. Google God. Search him. Search him out. Because he's searching you. Did you hear me? God is searching you. And he knows your way. And he knows your place. And he knows your thoughts. And he knows your intentions. And so it'd do a good thing for us to search out him. Know that God is God. And if God is God, no, listen, nothing else matters. Are you listening? If God is God, then you need to give your full and undivided attention to not only who he is, but what he has said. Because it means something. If he's not God, and I know that he is, but let's, for sake of your argument, perhaps here today, he's not God. Then why are things as they are? Why aren't you living up to your moral standard? You say, well, I am. No, you're not. Paul said the things that I would do in Romans 7, he said, I don't do. And the things that I would not, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am.
Amen.
He said, I'm not living up to my moral code. We're not either. Why? Because there is a devil, there's a God, there is right, there is wrong, there is good, there is evil. And man has fallen, man is broken. And there's four spiritual laws that I want to give you before we stand and read the scripture. I hope you will write these down. They're basic spiritual laws. Number one, God is a God of love. We heard it in song this morning. God loves man. I'm glad God loves man. And God has a perfect plan for your life. God orchestrated you becoming a living being. He orchestrated that. A living soul. God orchestrated that. You're not an accident. You say, well, now somebody told me I was. They lied to you. God loves man and has a perfect plan for man. But man sinned against God in the garden. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that sin has separated us from God. And in separating us from God, this is spiritual law number two. In separating us from God, we have been cut off from God's love and God's plan. Now, God still loves us. But we'll never be able to experience that love until we come to Him in the forgiveness of sin through the person of Jesus Christ. Spiritual law number three. God has provided a way that we could be reunited, or as the Bible teaches, reconciled back to God and experience His love and know His plan. That's called the pardon of God, the pardon of God, the washing away of sin, the cleansing of sin, and it's called the purpose of God, God's perfect will for your life. You're here for a specific person. Yes, you will achieve many things, but you are here for a specific purpose. And that purpose can be found through the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ. And then spiritual law number four. Spiritual law number four is that when a person, because God has made us free moral agents, a person must voluntarily, of their own volition, make a choice to receive the Savior, Jesus Christ. The preacher can't do it for you. The parents can't do it for you. A friend can't do it for you. God won't make you. The devil can't stop you. It's your choice. And if you choose Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will unlock God's favor on your life, and you will experience the love of God, and you will know the pardon of God, and now you are equipped to find the purpose and place that God has for you in this thing called life. And yet there's a devil who is trying to distort it all. And so according to God's four spiritual laws, the devil has come up with spiritual flaws to try to keep man from experiencing the laws that I just explained to you. Genesis chapter 3, if you will stand to your feet. I want to read the first five verses. Now, it's very difficult. It was this past week. It's very difficult for me to stop at verse 5 because this is a wonderful, wonderful account in the Scripture. But yet I'm going to, because it's going to be the end of those spiritual flaws, and the Lord willing, we'll pick up with the rest of the story next week. But I do want to give you a way that you can prevent these spiritual flaws from being activated in your life. You say, well, I'm saved. Can I tell you the devil still will try to get you to think negatively against God?
Amen.
As a Christian. So I'm not just talking to people that are not Christian today. I'm talking to all of us. And so let's see what the Scripture says. This is where Satan comes on the scene in the human history of man. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, here's his first statement recorded in the Bible to man. And he said, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You go two chapters without Satan being mentioned in the scripture. He's not mentioned in the last two either, as far as his doom. But his first statement is a question, and the first thing he questions is God. Isn't that something? And so he goes to work, and he said, I'm going to do everything I can to get you to question God. And Satan is doing everything he can to get people to question God. Do you question God? He said, I told you I was saved. Yeah, I know. And so I'm asking you, do you question God? His existence, his purpose, his plan, his word, his love, his care. He said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? What a question. What a question. You know the backdrop of this? We'll look at it in just a moment. Verse number 3 says this. Verse 2, I'm sorry. But the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Let's pray. Father, take these moments we have together. Open our spiritual eyes. Open the hearts of our understanding. God, give us truth from your word that will help us in the hour in which we live. Draw your people closer to you, that we would walk in a way that would please you, and draw sinners to you that they might be saved by your amazing grace and know that joy unspeakable and full of glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want you to notice with me in Genesis chapter 3, the first flaw that the devil comes to Eve with, and it's a flaw of thinking negatively about God, in particular his goodness. And let me show you what I'm saying. He said in verse number 1, he said, yea, hath God said you should eat of every tree of the garden? He said, you know, is God keeping things from you? Is God making it hard on you? Has God said you can't eat of every tree? And so he approaches with this flaw. He said, God is not wanting you to enjoy all that is there for you to enjoy. And the devil is constantly telling people that. Constantly telling people that. God just wants you to live this life where there's just no color. It's all black and white, and it's all drab, and it's all just, you know, there's no excitement, and there's no joy, and there's no celebrating, and there's just no real joy in this thing called the Christian life. Can I tell you, that's really where the true joy is. And not because I said so, but because many, 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 many hundreds of thousands of millions of people through the ages of time that have come to Christ have shown that coming to Christ is the true source of all joy in life. And so the devil goes around questioning, is God keeping you from enjoying things? He's this big negative God that says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But I want to tell you, the God that said thou shalt not also says thou shalt. That's right. You see, God does have some restrictions. I'm glad for restrictions. I'm glad that everybody just can't drive the way they want to drive on 29, even though they obviously do. I'm glad that there's things that you don't do and things you should do. You see, when God says thou shalt not, he's basically saying don't hurt yourself. And he's setting up guardrails and he's saying don't hurt yourself now. Don't do that. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean when your child's young and you tell them, huh, don't touch that, it's hot. I'm going to touch it anyway. Ouch! You were right. That's hot. I told you not to touch it. Well, you're trying to keep good from me. I don't think that burn on your finger's good. And so God is saying, thou shalt not. I know about these laws. I created these laws. And so he's saying, don't do this. But then God also says, thou shalt, which simply means help yourself. Help yourself. Enjoy, right? Enjoy. Have a blast. Have the time of your life. Is that what the Bible teaches? If you're a Christian and you're not enjoying life, there's something broken in your Christian walk. You ought to be enjoying life richly. Amen. And so when the devil came to Eve and he said, look at it again in verse number 1, at the latter part, he said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not, ye shall not, ye shall not, you shall not enjoy life, you shall not live life to its fullest, you should never have any fun, you should never have any joy. That's a lie of the devil. I'm having the greatest time that I've ever had. I didn't really know what fun was, joy was, celebration was until I came to Jesus. And if you're experiencing anything different from that, there's something not right. I'm telling you, something's not right. The Christian life is to be a life of joy, unspeakable and full of glory, brethren. And so the devil said, God is negative. Can I tell you, God is the exact opposite from that. I just wrote down a few scriptures, and I want to read them to you. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That doesn't sound negative to me. Psalm 84, 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk unrightly. That doesn't sound negative to me. Amen. John 10, 10. After saying the thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and destroy, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He said, I want your life just overflowing abundantly with joy. 1 Timothy 6, 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they not be high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. But listen, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That doesn't sound negative to me. Could it be that the reason that man has a negative view of God is because they're listening to their own voice? Could it be we're not doing our research? Could it be that we're developing our own way of thinking about who God is and how God acts and what God is confined to do? Could it be that we become so lazy, that we become so much of not thinking and searching things out for ourselves, that we're not seeing where the evidence is and what the evidence points to? The scripture says in John and 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10, it talks about, for he that will love life and see good days, and he begins to give the prescription for how to love life and see good days. Hey, listen to me now. God wants you to love life and see good days. God is not some, as I mentioned, some cosmic killjoy who every time he sees you getting a little happy just kind of cracks you across the leg and says, hey, settle down. You're having too much fun down there. That's not God. That's man's perception of God. It's an erroneous one nonetheless. And so here is what really happened. Did you get the picture? Eve is in the garden. And the serpent, who was more subtle, and, you know, pictures. Here again, people not thinking for themselves, just letting others think for them. They've drawn a picture of some slimy-looking snake who's wound around a limb in a tree, an apple tree at that. And here's a woman, and she's getting ready to eat of the fruit, and that old slimy snake starts speaking to her. That's not what happened, brethren. I don't have the time to go into the detail, but I could if you'd like. I'm just telling you, that's not what happened. That's not what the Bible teaches. That picture is after Satan was cursed. This happened before. And the scripture says in chapter 2, I want to give you a picture of what really happened. If you look in Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 8 that the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And then the scripture says that he began to put all of these things, look at it now, to grow every tree that is what? Pleasant and good. You see that? Pleasant to the sight. Good for food. That doesn't sound negative to me. I want you to think of the most beautiful place you've ever seen or been to, and I want you to multiply it by infinity, and then you'll have Eden. God created this beautiful home place for a man called Adam. And the Bible says in verse number 15, listen, you can read about it, these beautiful trees and these rivers and the garden, that the rivers were there to water and all of these things where there is gold. Verse number 11 talks about where there is gold and the gold of the land is good, and all of these onyx stone and all of these things in this beautiful, wonderful paradise. That doesn't sound like a negative God. That doesn't sound like a cosmic killjoy. Amen. And then God made man, and he put him there, and he said, now listen, he said, I'm going to give you some things to do in verse number 11. And God took the man and put him in this garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He said, listen, it's yours. Free will, free reign. Right? Free will, free reign. And he said, of every tree, he said, I want you to look around you. He said, all of it's yours. He said, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to give you one prohibition. Now here's where the lie comes in. I want you to listen very carefully now. I want to ask you a question. Look right up here at the preacher. If you had a watch on, some of you do, some of you don't. I don't wear a watch. I don't like being tied down. If you have a watch on, would you rather your watch be 5 minutes slow or off, or 5 hours off? You see, the devil is subtle. Is that what the Bible teaches? Genesis 3, he's crafty. The Bible speaks of his wiles. So when he lies, he doesn't tell a lie that's 5 hours off, because then you would say, hey, somebody give me the time. This ain't right. But if your watch is 5 minutes off, you're not going to be asking too many questions. And so he gets it just as close to the truth, but he twists it just enough to change a positive into a negative. Did you see what he done to Eve? Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He spoke of God speaking. He spoke of the trees of the garden. He spoke of every tree of the garden, because God had said, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. He just kind of changed it around. About 5 minutes off. You see what he's doing? He's changing a positive perspective of God into a negative. And the scripture says in verse number 16 that God told Adam, and it gets better. I wish I had time to develop this, but time is getting away and I have a lot more to go. I'm not that too much. Don't get nervous now. And so he said here, he said in verse number 16, he said, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat thereof. And he said, that's how much I love you. He said, but now I'm going to give you my law. He said, of the tree of the knowledge, look in verse number 17, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou mayest not eat thereof. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so God said, of all the things that I have prepared for you, this wonderful paradise, the freedoms, the liberty, life itself, fellowship with God, gold, precious stone, rivers, beauty, responsibility to dress and keep the garden, things that are pleasant to the eyes, things that are pleasant for food. It's wonderful. I'm going to give you one prohibition. Do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You see how the devil twisted that around? Did God say you can't be eating of the tree? I think God's not good. Can I tell you, God's very good. Amen. Like the old country southerner said, God's gooder than good. Amen. And so when you look at it, as if that wasn't enough, God, are you in chapter 2 now? He said, now don't you eat of that. He said, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You see that verse 17? Look at verse 18. You know, God said, you know what I'm going to do? It's not good that man should be alone. I'm going to do more for him. That doesn't sound negative to me. I hope you're getting this. That doesn't sound negative to me. If you have a negative view of God, something's, listen, there's something going on. You're listening to some wrong stuff. There's just something going on. And you need to find out what's going on. Where are those influences coming from? Where are those evil and negative influences? Where are those voices coming from? Search it out. It's important. You need to find out what's going on to give you an improper view of the God of heaven, because God is not a negative God. God is a very positive God. In the beginning, God said, let there be, 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 let there be. And he saw that it was very good. That sounds positive to me. But I do know what it's like to have a negative view. I've had it before, and I know where it was coming from, and it wasn't from God or goodly sources. And so he said, Adam, I want to do even more for you, and I'm telling you right now, it just keeps getting gooder and gooder. He put him to sleep, and he made a woman. And he brought her to the man, and he said, wow, this is something else. Every man in here ought to say amen. Listen, if you've got a woman, you ought to say amen. Amen. Praise God, what a blessing. Amen. I'll say it real loud. I'm thankful for my wife. Amen. Thank God that we don't live in a world with just men. How stinky, smelly, terrible that would be. But because God's not a negative God, he said, well, I'm going to make a woman. Amen. So don't be thinking negative about God now. And if you are, I'm going to ask you to do some more research. You haven't searched deep enough. You've been searching some improper sources. And so God is saying, yes, I have some laws, and yes, there's some things you can do, and there's some things you can't do, but he said, you know what? It's for your own good. It's because I love you. So flaw number one, think negative against God. Now, I'm not going to spend as much time on these next flaws, but I do want you to see them. Flaw number two, notice what he said here. He said, I want you to think skeptically about God. I want to put some doubt in your heart. He said in verse number one, he said, hath God said? And then look at verse two. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, I'm not going to go in, we may next week or another time go into everything that's wrong with, I just read there. I mean, she's off. And she did not do the research, okay? She did not do the research. She did not know what she was talking about. And sometimes when we don't know what we're talking about, we end up saying things we shouldn't say, and it ends up becoming a belief, and we begin to believe our own self, our own improper views. We don't need outside views to cause it to be improper, but because we haven't done the research, we develop our own view, and so we have an improper view. And so then the Bible says this in verse number four, the serpent said unto the woman, please notice this, ye shall not surely die. If there was anything right that the woman said, she said, well, God said if we, you know, did this, we're going to die. And Satan said, no, you're not going to die. Immediately, skepticism, doubt. Well, you know, you don't have to be too concerned about what God said. And so he said, I want you to be skeptical. He said, I want you to, number one, I want you to think negative about God's goodness. He said, but I want you to think skeptically about God's truthfulness. I mean, is God really tell the truth every time? Yes. Just because you does it doesn't mean God doesn't. Just because I do not doesn't mean God does not. Amen. God is right every time, brethren. I'm not right every time. You're not right every time, but God is right every time. And he said, you know, he said, listen, you shall not surely die. And so what man has done, and I want you to listen very carefully, I'm just going to mention these, I'm not going to go into detail, but I'm going to challenge you. There have become things that man is leaning on instead of what thus saith the Lord. There was a day when a man could stand up and thunder out, thus saith the Lord, and men would say, amen, and they'd search out the scripture, and they would know what God is saying, and they would say, yes, that's right. Amen. But now we're leaning on things like relativism, no absolute truth. Truth is always changing. Morality determines morals. or majority determines morals. If everybody's doing it, it must be right. That's not true. So there's relativism. Search it out and see if the world that we live in is not leaning on that instead of facts. Number two, subjectivism. You say, that's a big word. Yeah, I know. It just simply means this. It means that what it means to me may be different than what it means to you, and we all have our own truth. That's not so. I don't get to decide what's so or not. I get to decide if I'm going to accept what's so or not. Amen.
Amen.
And so we need to be real careful here. Number three, and I could go into detail in these, but my time is getting away. Rationalism. Instead of thus saith the Lord, it is thus saith man. My reasoning. My emotion. My piece of paper on a wall that says that I'm smart. I know better than God. No, you don't. And so we're leaning on these things, brethren. And now instead of man trusting the Bible, instead of man searching the Scriptures, Jesus told him in his day, he said, search the Scriptures. That's John 5:39. He said, get in this book. This book will lead you to truth, and the truth is what will make you free. Amen. Get in the book. Get in the Bible. Are you afraid to get in the Bible? Are you afraid you'll really find the truth? Is it because you don't want to know the truth? What is it? What is it that's keeping us from the truth? Is it this voice in our ears saying God is negative? Be skeptical of God. Don't search out the truth. Is that it? What is it, brethren? What is it in our lives, in our world? I know many of you are in the Bible. You're searching the Scriptures, and thank God for it. But can I tell you, the day of people really wanting to know the truth is a bygone day. And that leads to my fourth one, pragmatism. Pragmatism doesn't ask, is it right or wrong? It just says, does it work? I care if it's right. I care if it's right or wrong, not just if it works. You say, well, why should you matter about that? Because there's more than one way to make a lot of money. And I care about the right way. You say, well, it shouldn't matter. It matters to me, and it should matter to you. And so we've come up with all of these different ways that man can make decisions for himself, and we put these fancy names on them, and we've decided this is the way we're going to live, and the devil is the root of it all. Hath God said? Well, you don't have to listen to what God says. You shall not surely die. Did they die? Well, surely they did. Are you looking to prove God wrong? When you do, come to me, please. Do the research. I've challenged people, do the research. I don't believe the Bible. Why not? Well, there's a bunch of error in it. Well, when you find them, bring them to me. I'm not going to let you get off that easy. Amen? I'm not being mean now. I'm just being straightforward. We need some straightforwardness. We need somebody to challenge us. But can I tell you, I found that people don't like challenges. They want to be able just to say what they want to say and be done. No, no, no. I'm going to challenge you. Do the research. Do your study. We can have a civil conversation. I'm going to stand strong, and if you think different, you stand strong, and we'll put it out there on the table. Number three, spiritual flaw number three. Let me just ask you a question before we go any further. Let me ask you a question. And I want you to raise your hand if you truly believe this now. If you truly believe this, is murder wrong? If you think so, raise your hand. You think it's wrong to murder. Raise it high. It's wrong to murder. Some of you don't. Okay. Most of you do. Is stealing someone's property wrong? Yeah. Can I tell you, the same God that said that murder is wrong and that stealing is wrong said that dishonoring your parents is wrong. So is God wrong about some and right about others? This is what Satan's saying here. This is what he's doing. He said adultery's wrong. Yeah. Listen, God has set a moral code. God has set a moral standard. And he said, this is where the line's drawn. You can't run around killing people. Right? For no reason. It's murder. You can't go in your neighbor's yard and break into their building and steal their lawn equipment. Well, you can, but there's consequences. And that's going to lead to my third point, if you look down, and that is thinking carelessly about God. Thinking carelessly. When he said, "You shall not die," he's saying basically this, and I want you to listen very carefully, and I'm about done. He said this. He said, "You know what?" He said, "You can do wrong, and God will not punish you. You're not going to die. Go ahead and eat. Go ahead and eat. There'll be no consequences." That's called sin with impunity. I can sin and there'll be no consequences. See, I'm here to tell you this morning now, listen, I want you to get this. That's the devil's gospel. That's not God's gospel. Sin has consequences. You can be sure, I can be sure, we can be sure our sin will find us out. So he said, just think lightly. Just think carelessly. Don't put a whole lot of stock in the consequences of you breaking God's commandments. You have impunity. You're not going to pay. Can I tell you, that's what's wrong with our country today. As a matter of fact, that's what's wrong with a lot of countries today, not just our country. There ought to be some teeth in the law. Can I tell you that law without consequences is just advice? Right? And God's not in the business of giving advice. God is in the business of giving commandments. Do this or else. Right? But he's doing it for our good. And here is the devil coming to Eve, and he's trying to form this thought in her mind. It's okay to do wrong. God won't require it. You're not accountable. Brethren, I'm here to tell you today, by the grace of God, in the mercy of God, that while God does love us, he will hold us accountable for our actions. Every one of us is going to give an account to God one day. It's a reality. Did you get it? So he said this. He said, number one, he said, think negatively about God. God is some cosmic killjoy, and he doesn't want you to enjoy life. That's a lie. Number two, think skeptically about God. Question his truth. Does God, is his word completely without error? Can I believe everything the Bible says? Is God always right? Yes. Yes, he is. I want to make a statement here. Any person that would be involved in bringing skepticism upon the authorship of the Bible, the authority of the Bible, the accuracy of the Bible, and the acceptance of the Bible is of the devil. I don't care how many doctor's degrees they have before their name. I don't care what pulpit they stand in or what university they teach at. I'm telling you right now, anybody that would bring skepticism and doubt to people about God and his word is not on the right team. Please hear me now. And then finally, think suspiciously or distrusting about God. He said in verse number 5, and this is where we'll close this morning, he said this, he said, For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He's saying, Eve, go ahead. Go ahead. Just a little bit. Just a bite. Just a bite. You're too straight-laced. You need to live a little. You need to liberate yourself, Eve. You need to experiment a little. Can I tell you how many people are in the hospital right now because they experimented a little bit. In my almost 40 years of ministry, I can't tell you how many people that when I talk to them, I'm talking about people in the hospital, people in asylums. I've been to asylums. I'm just spitting some facts at you. I want you to understand some things. People in the hospitals, people in asylums, people in recovery units, recovery centers, people that are in jail, people that are in prison, people that their lives are in a mess, people whose homes are broken up, whose children have gone to the pot. Listen, they just experimented a little. How many people are in jail because they experimented a little? Are you listening? You listening? You see what the devil did there? He said, God knows that when you do this, your eyes are going to be open to a whole new world. Wasn't that what they tell you? I can remember almost those same words when I was a 13-year-old kid and somebody was giving me things, and I'm not even going to call the name of it, to do as a 13-year-old kid. Boy, you'll experience a whole new world. And then at the root of this lie is, you be your own God. You make your decisions. You don't need a preacher. You don't need a youth pastor. You don't need a Sunday school teacher. You don't need a church. You don't need your mom and dad. They're old fogies. They don't need to be telling you how to live and what to do. You be your own boss. You just do what you want to do. Is that what he's telling Eve? Look at it close. If you can't see that, you're not seeing it. Eve, cut loose. Do your own thing. Cut the strings. Well, you'll never reach your fullest potential if you go with God. God will restrain you. He's holding you back, Eve. You could do so much more if you wasn't going down there to that church and you wasn't living that lifestyle. You could, but none of it would be good for you. He's about 5 minutes off. About 5 minutes. And then one day, people realize, I've got an appointment. And it's real important that I'm there on time. And 5 minutes makes a difference. But then it's too late. God is not negative, brethren. He's not. I don't have to be skeptical of God. I've been doing this. I've been living for God for 44 years. And I'm here to tell you, God has been so good to me. Amen. That is not something I learned from someone else. I'm talking to you from experience. Amen. God's been good to me. Has God been good to you? Amen. I ask again, has God been good to Amen. You, brethren? God's not negative. He's not. Now, God does have some requirements, and God does have some guidelines, but it's for our good. It is. He's not negative. We can trust Him. He has our best interest in mind. He does. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, with me, and I'm just going to ask you to meditate on that. You say, well, preacher, how can I keep the devil from slipping in? Well, the Bible says that we ought to draw near to God. We ought to submit ourselves to God. We ought to resist the devil. You know, Jesus, I think, set a great example for us. I really do, in every way. But in particular, when the devil comes to tempt us to think or do or believe things that are not so. He said, it is written. Do the research. Yourself. Don't just take my word for it. I care about you. I do. But God cares about you more than I do. Do the research. And you'll find God to be a loving, caring, understanding, giving, positive, God who has your best interest in mind. Bow your head with me just for a moment, and I'm going to ask the pianist to play.